B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I think everybody's on board. It's just that the end of result is never good. So to me, I think it's a coaching staff. Corey Unglum, I don't know the situation, you know what he's teaching these guys, but to me, I think he's a terrible cornerback coach because he has not been able to develop anybody but Jalen Mills. And then if you look at the wide receivers, Mike Rowe, I think we had one good year when he was a wide receivers coach. But besides that, there has been no development in any of our skill players,
Rasheem,
or defensive players.
Listen to yourself for a second. Even Jalen Mills is what you just said.
How is
Jalen Mills in your mind like a Pro Bowl caliber corner?
No, I don't see the Pro Bowl caliber corner.
But that's drafted
in the seventh round and it'd be a cornerback on a Super Bowl winning team.
Sure.
I think Corey Unglum deserve a little credit, but as far as everybody else, you got to look at it. Devontae Bosby left here and went to the Broncos and was a starting cornerback for them.
Yeah.
So if you look at Carroll Sullivan, you know he's catching interceptions.
But hold on. Rasheed, let's just keep it with the Eagles just for a second because I just want to go over that again because Jalen Mills, I think, is like an okay to good corner, and I think a lot of the other Eagles corners who are in that same age range also go in that category of okay to good, but mostly bad. Like, that's the thing. Like, Jalen Mills, yes, Super Bowl, competed. He fell in the draft because of some things that happened at LSU. And to me, that's something that I know is an argument for another day. But as of right now, those guys haven't developed to their fullest. Like, the guy going into the season I was most excited about was Avante Maddox.
And I have to blame the coaching staff.
Right.
Because if you look at one there, when they came out the draft, you know, Rasul Douglas was a third-round pick. Avante Maddox was a fourth-round pick. Sidney Jones was a second-round pick. It was supposed to be a first. I can't blame Howie Roseman for picking those guys. I have to blame the coaching staff not to be. It's crazy. They haven't been able to develop no type of wide receiver and no type of cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And then Howie Roseman is continuously picking, you know, the guys that we want, but they're not developing. So,
are you not losing faith in Doug Peterson then?
I can't lose faith in Doug Peterson because he's the head coach. You also got to look at the position coaches, and they're not being able to develop the guys. It's like the whole group to me. More so than Doug Peterson.
All right, Rasheem, thanks for the call, man. I think Rasheem set a new record on our show, by the way. I believe that was the longest wait time for someone to get on the air.
Oh, really?
An hour and 2 minutes.
Way to go, Rasheem.
He got it in.
Nice.
He got it all in.
He also said, real quick, he can't wait for Jalen Mills. Last time I remember Jalen Mills being a starter on the team, didn't the quarterback throw for 5'11 or something like that? Right, Trey?
Yeah.
Although he got out-dueled by...
Well, Jalen Mills did play in games last year.
Yeah, he did. I'm saying the last game I really remember him playing in, he gave up 511 units.
Bob, what do I tell you all the time?
He's coming back healthy.
What do I tell you
about
numbers?
That's a good thing.
What do I tell you about numbers all the time? They never lie.
They never lie, but they can deceive.
But they do deceive.
Oh, there you go.
And you have to say it with the stank on the end. They do deceive. And lean in a little for the people on Twitch watching. They do deceive.
Yeah, I don't do that.
it's more of a me thing.
Yeah.
610-632.
Keep it there.
610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. One of the great reporters that was in that little mix with Doug Peterson yesterday, pressing him on the field goal, not taking no for an answer. He was a bulldog there in the media session. He's on the line with us right now. His name is Zach Berman of The Athletic. Zach, always great to talk to you. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Zach, what the hell happened yesterday? Like, I don't just expect Doug to say, you know what? Yep, my goof, my bad. I made a big mistake here. But to try to defend as much as he did a fake field goal in that situation was just bonkers to me yesterday in the press conference.
Yeah, I actually thought it was relatively benign. I got the sense he didn't want just repeated questions on it because from his perspective, it was fairly binary. It either worked or it didn't work, and it didn't work. I was more curious the thought behind the play. You know, even if it did work as they hoped, I still don't think the upside would have been worth pulling off the fake field goal in that situation. That's why I asked what yard line were you expecting to get at and how much time were you looking to have on the clock. They were trying to set up at least two shots, or I guess at most two shots at the end zone. And frankly, I don't know if it's worth it there because the expected value is probably just a shorter field goal. I'm all for being aggressive on that same field. You know, 2 years ago, they had a tight end throw to a quarterback on a 4th and 1 at the goal line. I just thought the time of the game and the time of the and the place on the field, it wasn't worth the upside of the play.
I'm 100% with you there. I agree with you. The only thing is, I will not fault Doug for being aggressive when it's a 4th and 2 midfield like he had in that game as well. I will fault him for being crazy aggressive when it comes to a fake field goal when you're getting the ball back at halftime. So that, to me, is what it will be the thing that's just undefensible or indefensible for a guy like Doug Peterson. When it goes a little further, though, and you look at how this team hasn't scored a point on the road in the first quarter, and what I've been harping on today, it seems like now for a second straight year, this team has really struggled to get out of the gates with some semblance of a high-flying offense or a quick-strike offense or even sustaining long drives in the first quarter. Why do you think it is that the Eagles have struggled so much in the early goings of games?
It's a major issue. As you said, it was an issue last year. What's even more concerning right now is that Doug Peterson made this a talking point during the offseason. He emphasized throughout the offseason that they need to start games faster, and they're in the same situation now. There's a few things you can look at. One thing that has come up is the fact that they defer when they win the coin toss. Doug Peterson said he'll reevaluate that. I don't think that's the problem. But when you're looking at first quarter scoring, if you give the ball to the other team and they drive down the field, you know, for 7 minutes, you have limited amount of time on the clock. I would still defer, but I understand why it's an issue and why he's reevaluating it. You can look at the scripted plays. Scripted plays don't always go as scripted. For instance, the first play the other day was supposed to be a play action shot downfield that they killed because of the look. Frankly, I just think it comes down to the players. You know, they need to make plays. And you're seeing penalties have been a problem last year or a problem this year, missed assignments. The reality is that, you know, we can talk about the coaching all we want and that the game planning is a big part of it. The game is won by players and players need to execute there. You need to convert third downs. You need to make third down stops on defense. And they're not doing enough of either of them right now.
And when you talk about those players, speaking with Zach Berman from The Athletic, and I know I'm always one to go players before I go coaching, but it seems like it's been such a consistent problem over the last 2 years, I have to stress more of the coaching. But let's look at those players for a second. What are they supposed to do as wide receivers on this team when they just don't seem to be good enough? Are they not getting coached up? Is the quarterback not trusting them? Or is their talent level just where it's going to be now for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, the talent level is certainly something to look at. I think overall it's the lack of speed. You take DeSean Jackson out of the lineup, you're losing really obviously your fastest and your only legitimate deep threat. Nelson Agholor can stretch a defense, but it often comes from the slot as opposed to the outside. But I think you need to look at roster construction there. And the Eagles really have emphasized size at wide receiver, when a lot of other teams, you know, for instance, Kansas City is focusing quite a bit on speed. And you heard when the Eagles drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, there's different ways to get open. It's not always with speed. You can size someone up. You can win contested catches. And that is accurate. And Arcega-Whiteside might go on to be a very productive receiver in the NFL. But when you look at kind of roster duplication, he's very similar to Alshon in terms of the size skill set, and I just think the Eagles have a general lack of speed. When you see Miles Sanders make plays in the open field, it's because of the speed and the elusiveness. And when you look at the Eagles receiving core, and they can say Matt Collins has a good 40 time and he does, I just don't think you're getting enough downfield plays from this offense, and that's really stunting them right now.
Zach, our poll question today centers around fans' confidence in Doug and whether it's wavering or not. So my question to you is, having been around him all the years that he's been here, two things, and I'm talking in-game in both of these. What are his best in-game qualities as a coach and some things that you question in-game qualities as a coach?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say his best in-game qualities as a coach, I think, are adjustments as the game goes on. Coming out of halftime is one thing, but I would just even say as the game progresses, kind of figuring things out as they go through. So that's in game. And then I think you need to look at start of game situations, whether it's the scripted in terms of the weaknesses, whether it's the scripted plays or just how he's getting this team ready to play in games, I think that's really the issue. I think Doug Peterson's best strength as a coach is really coming Monday to Saturday, more so than game days.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think what he does well on game days is make those in-game adjustments.
Speaking of Zach Berman from The Athletic, the other part of this I want to focus on, because the Eagles suffered, as it seems like every team in the NFL does, right now from a lack of, I don't know, awareness as to what pass interference is or isn't. And then last night, more officiating trouble with the Green Bay Packers versus the Detroit Lions. Trey Flowers being called for two hands to the face penalties that were not at all hands to the face. If you're in the league office, and I know this is a very broad question, Zach, but how do you get this right? Because it seems to be an overwhelming majority of people thinking that the NFL officiating is the worst it's ever been this year.
Yeah, so you look at pass interferences in particular, and the NFL instituted this rule change here, or the ability to review them, really as a reaction to a missed call in the NFC Championship game last year. I think it was one of those things that worked in theory, but not in execution, because they are not overturning pass interferences, or they're not changing those calls. Doug Peterson said yesterday, I asked him if he's resigned to keeping the challenge flag in his pocket. And he basically said that's going to be the case. Timeouts and challenges are too important. And with pass interferences, when you look around the league, they're not getting overturned. If it's something that they really feel they need to throw the flag on, they would. But look at the Nelson Aguilar play on Sunday. They didn't do it. When you speak about, you know, kind of the hands to the face and different things like that, the NFL is kind of walking both sides of the stick. You know, you want competitive games. There's also this big focus on player safety. Anything close to hands in the face, anything, you know, that has to do with hitting the quarterback, those are generally going to be called. So that's, I think, the sticky area there is the product versus the player safety element of it.
Zach, with the struggling play of Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones on Sunday, and it looks like the health getting better for Mills and Darby, and I'm not sure about Avante Maddox, but who do you see starting in the secondary against the Cowboys on Sunday night?
Yeah, so it's a little too soon for me to say that, because I need to see how Jalen Mills gets through this week in practice. My guess is you'll still see Douglas and Jones for the majority of the snaps on Sunday night. I don't say that with a ton of confidence right now, because, you know, but I say that simply because, you know, they're going into the week healthy. Mills and Darby obviously are their Super Bowl starters, or were their Super Bowl starters. I think when those guys are healthy, they're going to be starting here. But Jalen Mills hasn't played a game since London last October. So you can't expect him to go out there in Dallas on Sunday night and play 70 snaps. I don't think they're expecting that either. If they can get some type of rotation going like they had in week one, I think that's probably what they would do in the short term. Mills, and I heard you talk about it, Bob, before I came on. Mills was under criticism before the injury last year.
Right.
I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay game last year when DeSean Jackson runs deep. There were time and time again last year where I listened to you guys' show and Mills was under scrutiny. So I would kind of pump the brakes on Mills being what saves them. But he is a solid starting cornerback. And as Jim Schwartz said, there's not a parade down Broad Street without Jalen Mills. So I think that will help. If Darby's healthy, he can really help them. He hasn't been quite right yet this year. I don't think there's an easy solution with the cornerbacks, and I think that's a problem, because until they show that they can stop teams deep, teams are going to throw deep. And I think what the solution needs to be is kind of what they adjusted to in the second half of last year, playing a lot of off coverage, forcing opponents to take it 12-13 plays downfield, trust your red zone defense, hold them to field goals instead of touchdowns.
Speaking with Zach Berman, last thing for you, just going into Dallas, your early expectations against the Cowboys Sunday night. I know it's only Tuesday, but as of right now, are you expecting the Eagles to win that game?
If Amari Cooper's healthy, I think they're going to have a much harder time winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw what Cooper did down in Dallas last year. If Cooper's not healthy, I really like the Eagles, because I think that the Eagles can stop Dallas's run. They've perennially been one of the top run defenses. And I don't know if Dallas will have the skill guys on the outside to really test them. So I think that's a major injury to monitor here. I think the Eagles are going to be able to move the ball some. They have been able to do that against Dallas in the past. But the question is going to be whether they can stop Dallas's passing game. And if Cooper's on the field, they're going to have a hard time doing that.
All right. Zach Berman from The Athletic. Always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Take it easy. Zach Berman from The Athletic. All right. Coming up, we'll dive a little bit deeper into Doug Peterson as far as his play calling, as far as whether or not people think, or people's enthusiasm, whether or not their confidence in the head coach is wavering. Bob, it's a good way to put it. We got Carlos in D.C. on the line. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming back, we'll give you a Twitter poll update here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey, how about this? Do you want a pair of Sixers tickets? Maybe then play knockout with our show hosts on the Sixers court after the game. Then celebrate Halloween with us by participating in our Fanatic Fan-O-Lantern contest. Fan-O-Lantern. I like it.
Yeah, what is that? What's going on with that?
Well, I'll tell you right now. You can go to the contest page on our website and submit a picture of your best Philly sports-related jack-o'-lantern for a chance to win.
Oh, okay.
You're an artist.
Yeah.
Can you carve a pumpkin?
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question. Can somebody, are we Philly sports-related? Like, can somebody do a pumpkin with 97.5 morning faces on it?
I would hope we're sports-related.
Why would one want to do that?
Because it would be cool. Because
we look good in orange? I don't know.
Trey does when he wears his
Flyers
shirt.
I just want my face on a pumpkin.
Trey looks good in there.
Those people are amazing. Ice sculptures, pumpkin carving, I put it all in the same realm. Those people are very talented people.
Yeah, they are.
Did you bring up knockout?
Yes.
I hope Jenna's not in the car. I'll knock her ass out again this year, yeah, Bob.
Not with that head trauma you suffered.
Guess what? Her dad might have her back this year.
Oh, watch your nap. Ass.
Yeah. I finished like top five both times I've done it. No big deal.
All pictures must have you and the Fanatic logo in it. So don't shortchange us there, people. Winner will be announced on the Mike Missinelli Show on October 31st, presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Not too shabby right there. You know, you carve a pumpkin, put a little face on it, and next thing you know, bada-boop-bada-beep, you're at a Sixers game. You're playing a little knockout on the court after the game. How about that, huh?
Not bad.
How about that? It sounds like a great thing. So give me an update, please, Sam Wilson, on our Twitter poll. What do we have?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all-style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you losing faith in Doug Peterson? We have just under 3,000 votes. 76% said no, they are not.
There you go. People are not losing faith in their head, losing faith in their head coach. Good for them.
Yes, a couple people have tweeted in. They voted no, but they are losing faith in Howie Roseman.
Okay, that'll be tomorrow. So yeah. This is one person we're asking about. All right, it's Tuesday, people. And it's Tuesday after a press conference where Doug Peterson, I thought, came off as if he was backed into a corner. And nobody should put Dougie in a corner. But he was backed in a corner yesterday. And that's what happened.
Especially that petter-ass Swayze and Dirty Dancing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the media, to their credit, had their ducks in a row. We're asking all the right questions. Zach Berman, who just joined us a minute ago, was asking some of the right questions as well. And Doug just came off as a guy that was shaken a little bit in that press conference, and that should never be. If you're a head coach, look, you can stand by your decision and present evidence that makes you go, oh, I can see why you'd do that. Never happened. That never happened in the press conference yesterday.
Yeah, how does he come off better? By saying, yeah, it probably wasn't the best of calls, but I thought I saw something?
Yeah. But even that, it's like, hey, look, the odds were against us there. I thought we needed to get... Like, if he ran, and it wasn't Philly special, it was Philly that he ran in the opener a year ago. Right. He said he did that because he wanted to get some energy going in the building again. even if that ball went over Nick Foles' hands, the guy was taking a shot. Like, is it the right call to make in that particular time? Nobody was trying to get some life back into the building, some life back into his players. Even if he tries to explain it, and he did, I think, right after the game, saying that he tried to get something going there.
Right.
But if he ends there, I'm cool. But in trying to explain it further, I felt as when he painted himself into a corner. It just didn't make sense. It was not the right play call. And I think most people, even if they converted on that fake field goal, what, if they executed it to perfection and they run out of bounds on that play, they complete the pass, get the first down, run out of bounds, then you have two shots at the end zone with about maybe 15 to 18 seconds.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Then I think most people go, damn, Doug, all right, it worked, but God. You know, like, they're not comfortable with it. They're happy it worked, but they know it was the wrong play call.
Right. That's the key right there, Mark. More than the other plays, that was the wrong play to call. The other ones could be questioned if they worked, if they didn't work. Legitimate question. This one was just the wrong play to call. Wrong time, wrong play, wrong belief in that you really had something there.
I think if Doug just said after the game, I just wanted to, I might be reaching for something, but I know that we needed some kind of big play right there to get our offense going. I almost go, all right, that's a feel thing. I'm not going to argue with the head coach on the feel.
Right.
But when the further explanation of it, that makes me think you're going to do it again, Doug. Please don't do it again. Coming up, we'll hear from Doug Peterson in the press conference yesterday. And also, he made a bold claim about this game coming up against the Cowboys. And then he didn't just, like, walk it back. He backpedaled faster than some of his DBs and trying to
bait
that back. Let's get to Carlos in D.C. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, man, love the show. How y'all doing? My father's from Philly Central High School.
Central, my man.
Yes, I think Doug Peterson, I haven't lost faith as a head coach, but I've lost faith as a play caller. You alluded to it earlier. It was 2nd and 2. He passed the ball. 3rd and 2, passed the ball. 4th and 2, passed the ball. Obviously, you knew you were going to go for it on 4th down. Why not run the ball twice? It's a common sense, man.
I was championing the cause of coming out and trying to establish the run early, and they did that. Their first play of the game, they had a good run up the middle from Jordan Howard. He got a good run. Then he leaves the game. Miles Sanders comes in, gets two yards. Then Jordan Howard comes back in, goes up the middle again. They get nothing, and it's a 3 and out in their first possession. I wanted to see them start with running the football, but you also have to try to get Carson Wentz in a little bit of a rhythm. So 3 straight run plays was just bonkers to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely mix it up. I just think, like you all said earlier, when Frank Wright left, Doug's getting in front of Doug. It reminds me of Andy Reid a little bit. I think that Doug needs to give the play calling up. Mike Groh needs to go. The DBs are toast. And I still salute Howie Roseman for getting Jordan Howard and for getting the players that we have. I just think that we got to get that running game going.
All right. So I think the running game
will help everybody.
I agree with you, but Carlos, the offensive line also has to get it back together here. The other part is, so you would move on from Mike Groh, and I don't think many people would shed a tear over that, but you would take the play calling away from Doug, fire the offensive coordinator, and then what? Promote Deuce Daly?
No. I wouldn't take it away yet. I just think Doug, he has to get back to what got us. We got to get the running game going. The DBs are getting burnt. We got to give our defense some help
by
keeping them off the field.
Yeah.
I also think Wentz needs to scramble a little bit more, but at the same time, like you said, the Bengals game, we passed 6 times.
Carlos.
The more you pass, the more your quarterback is.
Can you do me a favor, Carlos?
Yes.
If the Eagles ever offer you an offensive coordinator position, can you turn it down?
I appreciate
you, brother, but nobody wants to see a guy like Carson Wentz scramble more. That's the last thing on anybody's mind. But thank you for the call and the kind words, my friend.
They did run one nice play with the run-pass option where he kept it. It was
Oh, yeah.
And he came in end around. Maybe that, he picked up like 16. And maybe that's the play that Carlos was talking about. But
a little read option.
I don't think they're designing for him to scramble around to make plays.
Now, if that's if Carson's God-given ability, if his athletic ability is what allows that to happen, like the touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see it all the time. All the time. Whenever you can do that, Carson, you go for it. It was safe. He was rolling away from danger. He kept his eyes upfield all 10 yards of it.
Yeah.
And he completed the pass for the touchdown. Vintage Carson Wentz. Let me see that as many times as he can possibly pull that off. But what I'd rather see is Carson drops back, takes a two count. The offensive line has blocking down and all that stuff. Everyone's not getting to the quarterback, and he fires that pass down the field, and you get a nice little gain out of it. Actually, you know what? I think it was the first play after halftime. The duck he threw to Nelson Agholor for that 30-yard gain. I think that might have been their first 30-yard pass in the air for a completion in four games.
They're literally incapable of it.
They did it on that one particular play, and it was like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback drops back, offensive line holds their blocks, pass over the middle to Nelson Agholor, 30 yards. All right.
Yeah, and it was like a back footer, too. He threw it off his back foot. You're right, it was a wobbler, but it was right there.
Yeah, and I'm being nice and saying that the offensive line held their blocks. They just barely held their blocks. The play was off. It was a success. I'd like to see more of that.
They did their job.
Baby steps. They did their steps.
So is Jason Peters going to have he's getting the second opinion today. Think he plays this weekend?
I think he does.
He's getting a second opinion on what?
His knee. His knee, I guess.
The knee.
Jason Peters and Bradham are both getting second opinions today. That's why there was no clarity yesterday.
Well,
but it seemed day to day.
Well, if they're opinions, then it seems like there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like is there possible surgery then if you're getting opinions?
I don't know.
I mean, I would assume it's possible.
If you had a sprained knee, Trey, do you go to your own doctor?
There's no opinion for that.
That's factual.
Like if you have tendonitis or something like that, then there's no real opinion about that. You know, it's just, it is what it is. You go get treated and you go. You know, is this something that you're looking at where you're going to, you go to get other opinions if you're talking about possible surgery?
Oh, that's not good.
You know, you see what I'm saying?
Like, I do. I never thought of it that way. All the years I covered, I thought a second opinion was like, I'm going to have another doctor look at it and see what they have to say.
It could possibly be just like an arthroscopic cleanup, right?
Yeah, but that's still a week to 2 weeks situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like if you're talking, that's still surgery though. But if it's like a regular just, hey, it's hurting,
well,
why do you need to go get another opinion?
The new thing down there is this mystery of injuries. Like Jalen Mills won't even say what the injury was that he's coming back from. Mm. You know, now it's like lower body injuries and well this and that. That's it leads to this conversation. Like what the hell is going on down there?
No idea.
Why can't we just be upfront and a la Andy Reid about what the injuries are? Like why do we, he's day to day with a knee. Ugh. Okay, well, what about the knee? Have you heard an update on Avante Maddox?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to hit Zach. We ran out of time. I wanted to hit Zach Berman.
We know he's in a brace. Is it just a sore neck? Is it precautionary?
I'll be back in the locker room later this week, but I did see him last week, I believe it was Wednesday, in a full neck brace. Not just like a little white styrofoam collar.
Have you heard anything on Tim Jernigan?
No.
Do we never got updates on Kamu Grugier?
It's a secret. Look, I don't get it in football.
It's so weird to me.
In hockey, I get it because they're afraid of somebody taking a stick and slashing somebody in the wrist, like using a weapon. In football, I get you could dive at somebody's injury or you could target somebody's injury.
Uh-huh.
But in the NFL, where it's always been just out there and coaches will answer those questions and there's an injury report that's literally given out specifying shoulder or knee or something like that, it doesn't make any sense to hide it. But you're right, Trey. In terms of a second opinion, that is what is a huge cause for concern going forward.
Yeah, when you're talking about a second opinion, this seems like this is something serious. And when I watched the game again, I didn't see what happened that would cause this type of issue.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It was a run, right? A Sanders run.
Plays.
Yeah.
He left the game twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and the second time, he didn't touch anyone.
Jason Peters left himself.
It was another run on the second play.
Yeah, it was a second run. So he and Kelsey pulled out, and Jason, I don't think JP touched anyone. He just ran around, and then he stopped, and then next thing you know, he's jogging off the field, and Diller's coming in. So I don't know. Is that more of a tendonitis thing or
don't know.
Your knee
thing
is just hurting? Because I didn't see anything that would cause enough issue to say that I need to go get a second opinion.
Everything down there has been weird with them in injuries in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Real weird.
For a long time. Since they brought in their new training staff, their new medical staff and all that stuff.
And when you have as many injuries as the, you know, I would imagine they're right up there amongst the league leaders of injuries. You know, maybe a little clarity isn't the worst thing for you, for your image.
So we're talking about confidence level in Doug Peterson. As the week goes on and we find out more about Jason Peters, and we find out more as to whether or not DeSean Jackson is going to be playing in this game on Sunday, and we find out more as to whether or not Amari Cooper will be playing in this game for the Cowboys in Dallas, What will the confidence level be going into Dallas with all these injuries by Friday? Like, that's really, I mean, yeah. Just from a show standpoint, from an audience standpoint, from the people that call us and talk to us standpoint, what will be that confidence level on Friday? I mean, we have to see what that'll be because we have to get answers to all these questions. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, we got to talk about game plan. And we got to talk about the guy that is calling the plays and the confidence level you have in that. Most people not jumping off the Doug Peterson bandwagon. Some people even outraged at the question that we dare question a Super Bowl winning head coach, the only one in the history of this city. We're a little far removed now from that Super Bowl. It's not the same team. A lot of different turnover. A lot of turnover in the locker room since then. And of course, in the coaching staff, especially a lot of turnover. So it's worth asking the question, especially after a horrific game plan going into the game against the team like the Vikings, then also seeing an abysmal fake field goal being called before half. So yesterday, as we mentioned a second ago, Doug Peterson backed into a little bit of a corner when it came to trying to defend his fake field goal decision in the game. Here's Doug Peterson and the assembled media yesterday at the NovaCare Complex.
Well, he would have caught it, and we caught it based on what we had seen on film and what we had seen the previous field goal attempt. He would have got the first down out of bounds.
Yeah, but what if he didn't get out of bounds?
I wasn't planning on he was going out of bounds. I mean, the play was there to go out of bounds. Then the offense is back on the field.
Yeah, but would have had to, if he did get out of bounds, Jake would have had to run up and spike the ball. Is that?
I mean, you're assuming that's what would happen.
You're assuming that would have gone out of bounds.
But that's right.
Right, but the ball hit him hand with like four good players around
it. It didn't work. Yeah. Bottom line, it didn't work. Great play by the Vikings. Enough.
If the play worked as designed, though, what yard line were you expecting to be at out of bounds and how much time?
We had, we were 4th and 5?
Yeah.
Right? And we'd have been, we're at the 15-yard line, something like that, 20-yard line, somewhere in there.
You would have expected how many shots?
We had 20 seconds left on the clock. We'd had probably 2 shots to the end zone before we kicked it again.
So was that part of your calculation there?
Completely. You have plenty of time. That's a trigger situation for us, and you got at least 2 shots to the end zone. It didn't work, by the way. In case you're wondering, the play didn't work. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm glad we're talking about a fake field goal today.
Yeah, of course we are, because it was a terrible call, and you're defending it.
The one thing that gets brushed under the carpet here, okay, you complete the pass, and Goddard gets tackled inbounds.
Uh-huh.
Jake Elliott is now rushing the team up to the line of scrimmage to take a snap and spike the ball to stop the clock.
It was almost worth it. I would have loved to have just seen that.
How many times has he done that? I could see him standing over the left tackle.
Guys, huddle up. I got to spike it.
Getting on the center.
Why do you assume that he speaks like that?
Now, Jake Elliott has a nice voice. He does not have a high pitch. You're kicker shaming.
Yeah,
you're kicker shaming.
I am kicker shaming. I'm sorry.
But, you know, we talk about how many times has he thrown a ball. How many times has he taken a snap from center?
They asked him. He laughed and smiled.
I could see Trey being the left tackle all of a sudden feeling hands under his butt and saying like, yo, dude, get over there.
No.
Yeah, you don't belong here. Don't ever do that to me again.
Bob, so gratuitous with the language.
You know what I mean.
What the hell was the thinking?
Jake, horrible.
Jake Elliott in the locker room after the game reminded me of a one Bryce Harper when someone said curveball machine.
Hey Jake,
you're good. It wasn't so much an eye roll as it was laughing at the idea. Hey Jake, you never thrown a football before? No. Like, what? Yeah. Jake, that was adorable, but really?
Yeah. You know what now? If he would have gotten the pass out on time to Dallas, I would like to think that Dallas would have been able to make it out of bounds. Because Dallas was NFL open.
NFL open and Jake Elliott open. Not the same thing.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But he was NFL open.
Uh-huh.
But, you know.
I appreciate.
Maybe a kicker was scared to throw in a tight window?
Yeah, he got to fit it in a tight window.
You know what? That's a good point. Okay. Here's where I'll agree with you, Trey. Dallas Goedert was NFL open.
He was NFL open.
Still not anywhere near Jake Elliott open.
No, Jake needed everybody to be on the ground, and all he sees is Dallas in the field. He didn't need to see any purple anywhere, not even in the stands. Like, everything needs to be blacked out right over there. Just,
a home game needs to be a home
just
game
all of
as
that
well.
Needs to be
no purple in the stands.
Yeah,
no Prince
that.
Playing.
No Prince playing.
You can't have Prince
play.
It's too
no,
distracting.
No. Yeah, no. I need that entire corner of the end zone to be blacked out.
Mm.
And then no purple anywhere. Everybody purple needs to be that way somewhere.
All right.
off to the right.
Far away.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I believe we just helped the Eagles in this conversation.
Okay. And then let's see.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. Even the refs need to be gone. All of that, everybody.
Well, the refs do need to go.
Move out of the way.
And we'll get back into that after just an atrocious game last night in Monday Night Football. And I'll give the Monday Night Football crew credit for this because I think they've been atrocious. They did actually a great game last night with that game.
Yeah, one more question, because we were talking about this with JP.
What's
I know that he's going for a second opinion. If the knee was that bad for a second opinion, why was he on the sideline coaching?
In terms of being
instead
back in the locker
of being
room?
In the training room, right. In the locker room, right. getting worked on.
That's a great question. Let's kick that around a little bit more in a second. We got Tim, we got Charlie, we got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up a little bit more on Doug Peterson and the injury bug biting the Eagles yet again. Time of the Fanatic, 8:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I have to do that thing today where you got to get your picture taken and they put on a little card that says you can drive.
Ah, good time.
So here's a little, I don't know what joke the DMV was playing on people over the weekend, but it's very funny. The DMV was closed on Saturday. I had to get my driver's license renewed. And they, I guess, didn't tell anybody that PennDOT was closed on Saturday. And it was because Monday was Columbus Day, so they had off.
Mm.
But they always have off on Monday, I think. So to make up the day to their employees, they gave them off Saturday. Now, I'm never one to argue as to whether or not people should have off. You should always have off. Take the day off. Yeah, enjoy life. But when you don't tell anybody, and the only way you know, like I looked it up online before I went.
Uh-huh.
It opened.
Okay.
Looked on the website. Open. Showed up. Not open.
Were you the only one that showed up?
Oh, no.
Oh, there were a lot of other people.
In about the 5 minutes it took me to dial up an Uber and go to another PennDOT location, because the sign on the door in Center City just said, this office is closed.
So you thought it was just to that office?
Well, it said this office. Right. I'm like, well, if it's a broad statement, they're going to say PennDOT offices are closed for the holiday. And it didn't say that. So then I go to the one in South Philly down Oregon Ave.
Hmm.
And, well, first off, in the 5 minutes I waited, to answer your question, Trey, in the 5 minutes I waited for the PennDOT store, whatever, door to be open or not, at least 13 people did the same thing I did, which was try the door. It was locked and go, what the?
Yeah.
And then they were pissed off, and then they dialed an Uber and left. So I go to the other place.
Why did you dial an Uber?
What do you mean?
Why did you use an Uber? Why didn't you just drive?
He can't use his license because it was expired.
Well, yeah, that and also I was in the city.
Oh, okay.
What am I going to do, park? Come on. What is this guy?
No.
Yeah, well, not all of us can just pull a badass truck onto the sidewalk and just be like, deal with it, and then do whatever you want.
Okay.
But no, so then
good point.
Sorry for those other guys.
But then I went down to the one Oregon Avenue, same thing, and another like 10 to 15 people, same type of thing, in the 5 minutes I was outside.
Mm.
So I got to do that today. And this was my first like run-in with like PennDOT where there was an issue. Like, usually I just go right in and out. People talk about long lines at the DMV. I've never experienced anything more than 20 minutes, and hopefully I didn't jinx the hell out of that today.
No, you'll be
Did you make an appointment?
You can do that?
Yeah.
You can make an appointment with PennDOT to go get your...
Well, I don't know about PennDOT, but... make an appointment sometimes.
Oh, in Jersey, you can make an appointment. Yeah, it's much easier. Sure.
Really? I don't have my passport.
All you
updated.
Need is your 5-point thing, and it's good to go, right?
Jamie, you know things about stuff. Can you make an appointment at PennDOT to
I've
get
never
light?
Heard that. So I want to say no. But Jersey's a different animal, so maybe.
I don't speak the language. I don't
Jug handle, you turns.
It's a little weird. It's
totally different test.
And by the way, again, the other day, I got my gas pumped in Jersey. Guy, one man station, full pumps everywhere. Mm. Had to wait like, four and a half minutes for him to come back.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah, I did. You can ask Addy about it. It's stupid.
Those halves in South Jersey.
Rather just pump my own gas.
Well, go ahead. Nobody asked you to come over to Jersey.
No, you can't.
Stay here.
They yell at you.
If you want to save 30, 40 cents a gallon, come on over and bite on the 3 minutes.
Yeah, but you got to go through customs.
I'll let the customs to get into jerseys become a thing on this program. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear more of Doug Peterson yesterday. It was abysmal. And you know what? Larry Bowa sat in with us for a little while yesterday, and I was ready to run through a wall for that guy. Now, say what you will. Oh, old school, it doesn't fit anymore. Yeah, it always fits to hustle. And I saw this because I caught up with him here, obviously, with us. And then I talked to him again with NBC Sports Philadelphia. And he drove the point home even further. I guess we jazzed him up a little bit. We revved him up in the morning. And then he went even more into the hustle aspect of the game a little bit later in the day. And I actually tweeted it out about what he said about hustle. And like some people's reaction was, oh, typical Philly narrative. Yeah, we want guys to work hard. Isn't that the worst thing in the world? I understand in baseball, you guys are going to bust it every single time. But on plays that you could beat it out, yeah, bust it down the line, man. Maybe you get yourself that extra little hit for the week. Maybe you're, instead of batting, you know, what, 260, maybe you're getting up 265, 270 on the season with a couple of extra, I don't know, hustling out of the boxes during the course of the season.
And I loved what Bowa said, too, right away. He said, I don't want to hear about injuries either.
Yeah.
You know, and he came right out and said they should have been a lot better the last 2 years. And I, like I said, I don't want to hear about injuries, any of that. They should have been a lot better the last 2 years. And what he and I think Jamie Moyer also pointed to was the lack of really tightness in the clubhouse as far as rules and all that. Yeah. So, you know, don't want to put words in their mouth, but they look like they were pointing at a certain someone who just was released of his duty.
It's just a little bit.
Yeah.
And Larry Anderson, who I also caught up with later in the day, put it out there and tried to, like, sneak one past with, well, you know, you heard maybe some disciplinary problems in the Phillies clubhouse. Maybe. Yeah. He was all but confirming. Yeah. We'll get that in a second here. Tim in Outer Banks wants to talk a little Amari Cooper. What's up, Tim?
What's up, guys? How you doing today?
Good, bud.
So what I do for a living is basically leverage different items in my life. And if Amari Cooper's agent has a
Hold on. Tim, I'm sorry.
What does that mean?
Yeah, Trey and I are a little confused here. You leverage different items in your life?
Just in general, life is about leverage and how you position it. And as an agent, as a sports agent, what I'm getting at here is this, and that's here and over there.
Tim, hold on. Can we just do process a little bit? Are you a bounty hunter?
Maybe. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so fine. You're a hitman. Go ahead.
My point is this, is if I am Amari Cooper's agent, all right, came out of the game last game, a little hurt, no long-term contract in place. I'm telling him, hey, you're not feeling too good on Sunday. Sit out. If they lose, he's going to get massive leverage in his positioning to try to get that contract. If I'm his agent, I'm probably whispering in his ear, hey, whatever's hurt, it hurts bad enough. Well, you're not playing this weekend. Let's see what happens, because they're not, even if the Dallas loses that game, they're still not out of the playoffs. But what it is doing is positioning his player.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.